listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 12, continuing on the theme of hair coloring. In the last episode, we talked about some general concerns regarding hair coloring, some do's and don'ts, and some specific pitfalls to avoid. So if you haven't already listened to that episode, do look it up. And as with the last show, we rely heavily on conversations we had with Courtney St. John of Studio St. John, and we will link to her analyst page here on Chrysalis so that you can look her up too. One more comment about the previous episode, number 11. In that episode, we mentioned that the hair color shows would have only two parts.
Yes.
Well,
not quite, right? We've added.
Not quite. The conversations, they grew and grew, and we wanted you to be a part of it. So today's show will still focus on general topics, and we'll dedicate a whole show to each of the four season groups, summers and its neutrals, and so on. And we're even going to insert an episode about beautiful silver in between there, because we kept talking and we thought, well, this needs a whole episode of its own. And as always, a map of the 12 seasons is available with each episode at Chrysalis Color under the podcasts tab.
Hi, Jorunn. Hi, everyone. We've also updated the audio for you today in what I think of as the Telemark show now. So we record these shows on Zoom so that we can see one another as we speak. And then later the audio portion is detached to become the podcast. And Jorunn is normally in her color studio looking incredibly elegant. But for that show, she was in Telemark. So what I'm looking at is Jorunn in the wilds of Norway. Behind her, these huge, gigantic Norwegian pine trees swaying in the wind, meaning there was an impressive amount of wind and a beautiful blue lake in the background. Air's crystal clear. And there sits Jorunn with her hat on, like a beautiful little mushroom speaking with no mic, and still sounded better than me with my mic. So I had to do something about that. So Jorunn's back in the color studio today, and we hope you have a better listening experience. Thank you for sticking with us. So Jorunn, let's start.
Yep, let's start and let's get practical. A Norwegian and a maritime Canadian, it just doesn't get more practical than that, eh?
It does not. So we're still on general topics that apply to everyone to some degree, beginning with common hair color mistakes of the mature crowd, say over 35 or over 40. First one that comes to my mind, coloring too dark for too long.
Oh yes, that's kind of a thing that sneaks up on you, doesn't it? You just keep buying the same box year after year, not keeping in mind that over the years, that same uniform dark dye isn't doing you as many favors as it did when you started to use it many years ago. And Courtney, also a very practical woman, she offered three solutions to this. One is to use a lighter or more ash version of a color to soften and reduce the contrast. And another suggestion from Courtney is to alternate colors, as in having a couple of shades on hand and using them alternately. And the third solution is to alternate the time that the product stays on the head. Suggested times are usually like 25 minutes, but you can vary from 15 to 30 minutes. Another fun fact, well, at least that I didn't know, is that freshly cut hair may need a bit longer with the hair dye.
Yeah, I think home color, it just takes a few tries to learn how it works. The second one, thick highlights. So highlights with finesse are gorgeous as thin strands of light moving through the hair, but chunky highlights, for want of a better word, big areas of hair, do they work sometimes, like the cover image for this show, for example?
Well, the cover image for this show is beautiful, I think. And I think of it as different shades of color on the same head, like an ombre effect. And with hair that varies, very similar shades, that to me sounds more sophisticated than chunky. And you just have to look to find out what that means. Is it chunky or is it ombre? Take an honest look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, or an honest and loving friend, ask yourself, do these colors look like separate chunks of different color, or does it truly look like an ombre or highlight effect that actually suits me?
Yeah, one good question could be, if I'm using several colors, are all of them compatible with my own base hair color? And I wonder too if it's related to body type as well as season or coloring, because half of appearance is color, but undeniably the other half is lines and shapes. And I find that, season aside, finer, smaller, sharper bone structure looks good with finer, smaller, sharper highlights. Maybe even the overall hairstyle, maybe even clothing style too. Kind of similar to the idea that the more asymmetry there is in the face, the more an off-center part or some other adaptation for asymmetry just looks right.
Yeah, but these are general guidelines, and you and me, we should actually invite a line and style analyst to join us in shows sometime soon and discuss it. I think that would be a great idea.
I do too. I think that would be terrific, a terrific addition, a great topic for us. I was not great in thick or wide, chunky highlights. Of course, might have been better if they weren't yellowish green, but they wouldn't, right? Because I'm small, I'm fairly symmetrical, and I'm for sure more straight and sharp than I am rounded, at least in body design. I got rounder elements in my face. So thick, wide highlights relative to my overall size and shape, well, my appearance parts didn't make sense together. The hair was doing one thing, my makeup was over there, my apparel was someplace else. I think it gives a sense of a person searching for themselves, maybe, which was probably exactly what was going on back then. Back in the days, before I understood how natural hair color is just so perfectly designed that it looks easy, like how truth always seems too simple to be enough or to be the right answer. And I said to myself, I'll just do one color, whatever hair pulls out of that perforated compression cap, if you remember those things. How bad could it be? Well, I found out years later, looking at the pictures. At the time, though, I proceeded to be captivated by blonde or blondish, greenish, orange, in my case, however it turned out. And I figured it was an improvement based on no evidence, except someone probably said, I love your hair. Well, change isn't an automatic improvement, but I just didn't know what to look for. So I got brainwashed by blonde, and we'll talk about how for some seasons it's like watching a car accident in slow motion. And I happen to be one of those seasons. Funny enough too, it's those same seasons who wear a single solid hair color quite well. So I don't know why I had to make my life so difficult. Really, something that's really stuck with me. I saw a photograph of a group of first ever female CEOs. The chemical blonde decisions had me wondering if the CEO title might have happened sooner, if more convincing hair color choices had been made, and whether we're really helping ourselves with all this blonde, or, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, imagine if we put some of those hair colors on men, they would be CEOs either. Again, there's a gender difference, but where did blonde come from? From a sociological standpoint, when did it start? Is it this California girl look? It may work if you have that vibe or you belong to that age group. And why don't European women do it? Is it a celebrity thing? I mean, we're not California girls and we're not celebrities, I don't think.
No, that's definitely not us. But there is definitely a focus on blonde as the standard of beautiful hair, right? blonde is being upheld as the most sought after hair color. When I grew up, there were like all these jokes about blondes being stupid, but at the same time, everybody wanted to be blonde because it was beautiful. But maybe it's not so much anymore. And I find this beauty bit a bit of a passive aggressive way of handling female power. It's like, yes, you can be a CEO, but we want you to be a blonde, beautiful CEO or a blonde politician. But getting off track here, please carry on.
I find it so interesting how these beauty trends take hold and how some of them last so long. In North America, I think blonde is desired for a celebrity lookalike status, maybe kind of a Taylor Swift kind of look. Whereas where you live in Norway, do you think it's the same kind of reason?
I'm not sure, but I think it's more related to looking younger. Many people here, they're blonde as children, and maybe it's more of a desire to look like a young, fresh Nordic woman, perhaps. I remember my hair has always been, well, I was blonde as a child, but then when I turned into school age, my hair was dark brown. And I remember when I was on Interrail, I was traveling by train with friends down Europe as a 17-year-old. And I was so jealous of my blonde travel companions. You know, they got all the attention from the Italian boys. And me, I was just invisible with my brown hair.
Yeah, there are all kinds of sides to it, aren't there? The photo of these CEOs, it stays in my mind, as I said, and whatever you imagine it to look like, you're probably right. So what began as a few highlights became a few more, and then it was a few big highlights or just one giant highlight covering the whole head. And for women of light skin colors who speak from a distance in a room, on a stage, appear on screens, as I think we all do these days, or whose images appear in multiple places and sizes, like profile images, LinkedIn galleries, the blonde can literally make the face really hard to see. Picture it, right? So imagine there's a picture on the wall across the room from you. Make it a picture of a face and make the skin and the hair color about the same color. Now make the frame the same color. What happens? From a distance, features are smaller, especially mature faces or without makeup. So from across the room, you can't really tell where the face ends, where the hair starts and ends, and where the frame starts and ends. You can't get a sense of the facial contours. So you have an impression of a wide, flat face. It's not an opinion about blonde, which can be a heavenly hair color. It's just a fact of human biology that our vision is set up to see by contrast, meaning difference. So an animal hunting prey sees by movement. Something within the image has to undergo change, like the color of an edge or the darkness of a shadow for our eyes to register it. Let's go further with our picture. Imagine the wall in behind is similar in color to the frame, the hair, the skin. Person easier to see or harder? Harder, right? You can't make out what you're looking at. You're looking at concentric rings of similar colors. And this, I think, is sometimes how too much makeup is worn, to get things to separate visually and create presence. But hair color offers so many better ways to go about this.
In the last show, we talked about a dream of hair colorists using the knowledge provided by the modern season concept. We have that dream for photographers too. Picture you walk into their studio to have your wedding photos or professional photos taken and you say, "I'm a true spring." And they reply, "Very good, sit down while I prepare the equipment." Or even better, you told them your season when you booked the session and they reply with, "Very good, we're ready for you." They know the level of contrast, the background colors, the amount of highlight and shadowing. They say, "Oh, you're a winter. Got it." And up goes the contrast in the overall image, lots of neutral space, and then you get a gorgeous picture of you.
We can all go down our rabbit holes. So much so in the modern world, when our clients would probably love us more
and possibly our accountants too, for comparing notes with other industries, it's an idea of converging technologies. What could we do together that we have trouble doing apart? So if you know colorists and photographers, share this. It's such a big part of how new information gets to the people who could run with it in new and great ways.
Mm. Yeah, it's very, very, very true. And how about how we look on Zoom? I think we should address that in a later episode. It's like, how can you use what you know about your season to pick the perfect backdrop for those online meetings with colleagues and customers? I think we'll make a note of it and for a future episode and then get on with the hair color for now. Even though it's interesting.
Yeah, I have all these ideas coming into my head. I'm now thinking about, what could I make my avatar look like? So yeah. Decades ahead. I don't want to say too much more about this picture because it's just so stuck in my head. There was one woman in the corner of this image gallery, and her colors were closer to her own, or it seemed that way in this little tiny photo. And she seemed so relaxed. She was even relaxing to look at, as if someone had let the pressure off the valve.
I wonder if she feels happy with her hair or if she feels left out because she's not jumping on the blonde bandwagon. Maybe she thinks it's the other women who got it right. We don't know.
It's very interesting. And yet, in our opinion, she was the one who made the right decision. Anyhow, moving on. Number three. Mistakes of the over 35 or 40 age set. And we did mention this before too, looking dated. Clothes and hair that are fixed and recognizable in an era, like a part of our body stayed back and the rest of us kept going. We've updated our clothes, we've updated our makeup, but our hair looks like it did 15 years ago. So it looks like our story stopped and the rest of the world moved on. Well, the rest of the world will always move on. It is not personal. And how fast it changes, I think it's a sign of my age that it seems to be speeding up. But really, if a cast member from a 10-year-old movie, not that long ago, right, like say Die Hard, walked into a meeting room, we'd probably notice something felt odd. Although we might not put a finger on what it is exactly.
Hmm. Does it ever happen that we look at old photos of our hair and clothing and go back to those appearance choices?
Never, never. I think we look at those old pictures. I look at those old pictures and I either laugh or cringe. So staying up to date with what we look like today is very useful. Love yourself. It can be such a buzzword, you know, or it can have real meaning. To me, it means having our hearts and our actions in the same place. That's part of being up to date, to keeping up with ourselves, because we're changing on the inside. Being true to ourselves, okay, that's also kind of buzzy. I follow Sydney Cummings on YouTube, workout videos, Kit Rich, also great. And Sid said a great thing last week, which was to have our efforts match our goals. Line up what we actually do with what we actually want, especially now with this COVID era that we're living through. I'm being very selective to keep what I feel, think, say, do lined up. And you got to watch yourself. But man, energy flows where attention goes. Sorry. So that was a digression. I really can go wandering off into this topic. One of the great things about podcasting is you get to hear how people's brains work. I mean, who's behind the newsletters? Who is responding to your comments? From where do these visions come? Well, in a conversation with me, as Yaren very well knows, we will start here and we will end up there.
Yes, but we'll have so much fun on the journey.
Good conversations, I hope.
Yes, I don't mind. But let's go back to hair color. And here's another mistake. And this is for the mature crowd still, trying to cover every bit of gray. It's just so much better to alternate the levels of darkness. Sometimes you may need to alternate levels of warmth too, coolness or softness. Depending on the contrast between your underlying gray, you'll need to color more or less often. When you alternate between 2 to 3 different hair colors, the blending is going to look so much more natural.
I'm holding up my hand here, seconding. A little gray coming through looks better. You want to do this. It looks so much more real. Keeping up with the times. Another good tip from Courtney, pin back the top layer of hair and apply dye to strands beneath so the colored parts appear more natural. The colors just blend in with the hair on top and upkeep is a lot easier. Good food for thought if your dye color and your natural color are close and compatible as they hopefully are. This is something you could totally do at home.
And, you know, we've said that a single uniform color isn't a great choice. And the suggestion of leaving some gray coming through sounds the same, but there is a little bit of a difference. Single uniform color can be lovely on certain women, Asian, African, Indian, and Caucasians in certain seasons, which we will talk about when we come to those episodes. On the other hand, allowing a little silver to come through may apply to most everyone, unless she's under 35 or 40 and belongs to a season where single color flatters. Say, a 25-year-old dark winter who goes gray, we totally understand that it feels too soon to have silver strands showing.
In some cases, the present hair is white, and the color through adulthood was dark brown, and there's just no in-between color that's going to be flattering. So taking your dark brown, adding some ash, and going a level lighter may help, because if you pick a dye in the dark brown you think you see, it'll probably be too intense. A stylist might also have ideas for a design using a dark color, but a less intense version, together with the natural silver. I find this can look really hip and artistic when the two colors are fairly contrasting, still compatible with the woman, and come through in a design in the hair. It looks really cool. Easy way to slowly transition to silver too, and could work for any season, for every woman I can think of. Because her silver, it just happens to be her perfect highlight. Well, why not take advantage of the freebie for a few years?
I agree. Let's move on to the common mistakes of the people under 35. And here's one. Coloring too blonde, either too light and or too yellow. It may be because they think the blonde hair looks good with black clothing, which is very popular. But it's putting the cart before the horse. They forget to think about if they themselves actually look good in black. Because if you don't look good in black, becoming blonde is not going to help you.
Yes to that. Yes to that. Thinking independently about blonde in this world, it's like walking upstream through a whitewater river. You know, I think before you put your money down for a box of hair color, at least ask yourself, would this color and my eyes look good together? I know women who have these gorgeous, rich, mossy green eyes and white blonde hair. Neither one is helping the other look better. So as Joran, I think, said earlier, look at yourself before you put chemical color in your hair or have a color analysis.
This is true. And you know, a color analyst is on your side, not just because she has a method and set of tools, but she comes into your life as an objective observer. She's not your sister-in-law who wants to please you. She doesn't know your backstory.
Yep. Your backstory is opaque to her, and you want it to be. This super blonde, too yellow, too light, both, that hair can work for 20-year-olds doing makeup videos on YouTube where it's expected. And where we see the person from the shoulders up, but that's not adult competent women in the year 2020. I don't think that it is. Another tip that I think is pretty useful is to look through images of a man of the same season. Celebrity women often have dyed hair from their teens onwards. We use their images as examples because they're available, but Those are highly contrived appearances. Men tend to stay closer to themselves. So say you're a light spring. Google Brad Pitt hair color teen and then adult. You'll see him in bleached blonde. It's not good. And this is a person where blonde is a part of his natural design. Well, if it looks acidic on 20-year-old Brad Pitt and his face blanks out, what's it going to do for everyone else? And another real good use of looking at men in your season or close is to find a reset base hair color. You can look at Brad's hair and get a sense of how dark is plenty dark enough and something to show your hairdresser as a starting point.
It's very useful. So moving right along, to add fantasy colors that don't work, that's another mistake, and maybe more often for the young guys. If you want to do this, it can be done if you use the season palette and pick semi-permanent color, for God's sake. Find one that's in harmony with your seasonal palette, even if it is a fantasy color. Lime or Kelly green, for example, won't flatter this soft autumn, even in the spirit of play. Courtney told us of a soft autumn she knows who loves to party in New Orleans Mardi Gras parades. She has a collection of colored wigs in colors which are just totally off season for her. And given that Mardi Gras clothes are generally not in her palette either, this is a great way to enjoy exotic clothing and hair colors and styles without using hair color.
Yeah, I agree. There's just nothing a lime green is going to do for a soft autumn that's good, neither for her face, nor her makeup, nor her clothing. There's nowhere to go with that. Yoren, before we leave general advice, let's talk a bit about wonderful and beautiful uses of chemical color, because they sure do exist, and we love seeing them.
Yep. The first one that comes to my mind is perfect highlights in light hair. That's just heartbreakingly beautiful.
It really is. When it's done right, it's just unbelievably beautiful. The same with auburn, warm or cool versions, as highlights in darker brown hair.
Yes. And red or strawberry tips can be lovely. Just take what's there and amp it up a notch, just like you would with great makeup.
Mm-hmm. Or use your color palette as a guide for choosing the red or the strawberry color. Another great use of hair color is a rapid color correction back to a close color, especially if the woman prefers to keep her length. In some cases, the season magic will not be revealed with the current hair color. Another use for chemical color that I think is lovely is to enrich a dark color. The qualities of chemical color to add gloss and fullness and stunning pigment to hair can really be maximized here.
Yes. And multi-tonal highlights is super, as in a sequence of warm and cool in a light to dark gradation.
Yep. It's beautiful. If for certain seasons, it's just unbelievably beautiful. And we're going to come back to that in our season shows. Another something we mentioned earlier, covering strands or large random areas of silver that can arrive in our 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or done artfully as a style statement in later years. And may I say, growing in silver gradually. So lovely. 100% coverage doesn't really look like real hair, does it, at any age?
No, it just does not. Yoren, any others come to mind?
Oh, yeah. Gray transformations. I would love to see colorists get as good at grays as they have become with blondes. And yes, to women with freedom and self-ownership. We're going to talk more about gray transformations in the next show, aren't we? Wow. We had a lot to discuss around the topic of hair color, and there's much more on the way. In the next show, it will be all about beautiful silver. And in the four shows after that, we'll be getting more specific as we finally move on to hair color by season. Thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to your company in 2 weeks' time. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye, Yoren. Thanks for being here today.